No worries, we'll do the clap then. Is that cool?
1, 2, 3.
I'm standing here in pieces, and you're having to lose the grandeur.
It's a dark time for the Podosphere. Marshal Latham, striking from a hidden base, has won his first victory since forming the Journey Into podcast. During the battle, he managed to steal Rish Outfield away from the Doomsdief podcast, forming an alliance between them based on their love for Star Wars. Pursued by the Empire's sinister agents, Marshal and Rish believe they have something interesting to say about the decades-old franchise, its characters, the players behind the scenes, and the new adventures to come. Clearly, they must be suffering from delusions of grandeur.
All right.
Okay.
I'm out of it for a little while. Everybody gets delusions of grandeur.
Well, welcome to this timely episode of Delusions of Grandeur. My name is Marshall Latham.
And I'm Rish Outfield. And it has been a really long time since we got together and did this.
It has been. It has been. We've corresponded back and forth several times saying, oh, we should do an episode. We should do this. We should do that. But I think it's mostly been me that's been unavailable. I've been pretty busy with work and just trying to get things done, and when I'm not at work, I'm trying to get things done at home. So,
well, and I nearly let you down today, or maybe I technically did let you down. We were supposed to record, was it 2.5 hours ago, and I didn't get home until just a few minutes ago, and so
yeah, but it worked out.
How long can you go without podcasting before you have officially pod faded?
Well, I guess I'm given a little bit of leeway because I'm still officially on a hiatus, but I did say that I would be doing lots of Delusions of Grandeur episodes to make up for not doing other stuff, so I've kind of gotten down on that. But yeah, I don't know how long people will be patient enough to come around, but hopefully all the people that have been listening will continue to listen.
Yeah, we will definitely try to get more in there. You mentioned before we started recording a couple topics that we might be able to go over sometime. So, and plus there's always new Star Wars, always new TV series, always new news coming out.
Definitely. Yeah, I don't think we've talked about Rebels in a long time either. So there's another one.
Well, I would be no use to you on that. I still haven't seen the Princess Leia episode, which I think you talked about in the last episode we recorded.
Yep. Yeah, I think you'd like it, especially the last. Well, I guess I don't know how big of an Ahsoka fan you are, but the finale had Ahsoka versus Vader, which was a pretty cool way to end that.
So. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
It won't have the same impact on me that it probably would on somebody that knew them as friends and partners and.
Yeah.
Yeah, I almost want to just ask you about it.
Well, maybe we'll do an episode about season 2 of Rebels, maybe.
Well, yeah, that might be cool because you can tell me what their relationship was like.
Yeah.
And that way,
yeah, we can,
you know, whatever happens, I'll see. Yeah. Just right now, I want to know, does she know that Vader is Anakin? I mean, they have some kind of confrontation, but yeah, it seems like they would really miss the boat if she never found out who she was encountering.
No, she knows. She felt his presence in that. Well, I think you saw that one episode. I can't remember. It was like the first episode of season 2, and it had Vader in it.
Yeah, and he was in his ship taking down rebels.
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh, that was really cool, because that's not something we see outside of the end of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Is, you know, that Vader was a great pilot. And
but at the end of that one, she kind of senses, you know, who he is, but she doesn't quite believe it. So when she shows up throughout the season, she's figured it out by the time they get together. So, yeah, well, let's talk more about that.
Okay, well, I will try and catch up on those. I know the 3rd season is about to hit, And it would be awful sad if I were 7, 8, 9, 10 episodes behind when the third season starts.
Yeah, I'm just, last time I paid for, I just bought it from iTunes because we don't have cable and it doesn't show up on Netflix or whatever till after the season. So I just started, buying it on iTunes. But
well, that makes you more dedicated than me, man.
So I don't know if I'm going to have time or whatever to do that this time around, this season, but I'll always be able to catch up on it. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. We're here because you've been holding on for how long now to watch the Rogue One trailer?
Since the 11th of August. they had a special trailer. I think it was just during the Olympics. And I don't believe it's been, has it been in theaters? Well, probably would be in theaters by now.
I would think so. I haven't been to the movies, but
I think what we saw before was called the teaser trailer.
Yes.
And this is the official trailer.
This is.
I just grabbed it and put it on my computer and I said, oh, well, Marshall and I will podcast and I'll wait until then to watch it.
Yeah. And I think we might have even had planned a night to get together and then something fell through or something like that. So, but here we finally got together. So, I think we did this with Force Awakens, didn't we?
With the Chewie We're Home trailer.
Yeah. So this has kind of become a tradition now. We'll have to put it on YouTube.
Yeah. So, let's talk about it for a minute before we watch it, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because there has been the other teaser, and I don't believe we've done a Rogue One episode, except for I think you and me and Big were in a room together on a phone together, and we talked about, hey, the next movie is going to be called Rogue One, and this is what we know about it.
Yeah, yeah. Other than that, I don't think we've
But it was before there was ever any footage or what we knew, what it was about. But when would you say that first trailer hit? What, about February?
Yeah, it was either February or March.
And yeah, the thing that I remember the most vividly about it is the Force theme played like on a piano.
Yeah.
Remember, it was almost like in a minor key, the dun, 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 like a really slow piano. I don't think we had ever heard it like that before.
No. Yeah, it had a darker tone to it.
That moment and then seeing AT-ATs on a beach.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Are like the two most amazing memories I have of that.
I was going to ask you what the most impressive image from that was. But that hands down, that the AT-ATs on the beach was pretty cool.
I went to see something just the other day, and the movie theater chain has like its sizzle reel or whatever they play at the very beginning, you know, where it's like, buy Coke and see all these great movies and thanks for watching. Don't forget to turn off your cell phone. And it had like tons of clips of movies, like old classic movies like E.T.'s Finger Lighting Up. And I believe it even had Rhett Butler saying, frankly, my dear. And then interspliced with those, there were three or four or five like new movie things. Like I saw Girl Ghostbusters in there with like all these classic movie things.
Oh, wow.
And then right at the end, they showed like 4 seconds of AT-ATs shooting at people on a beach. And I was like, and I don't know. For some reason, that moment is the most, I don't know what it is. Because we only ever saw him the one time in Empire. I mean, I don't think it counts the one you see on Endor. And they looked the same. You know what I mean? Here it is.
Yeah.
36 years later. And I'd like to sit down with the guys that did the special effects and say, okay, it was probably an imperfect effect in 1980 because it was stop motion, and stop motion always has that strange jerky way of moving. How did you replicate that with CG? And he'll say, oh, well, actually it took us 18 months. This was stop motion.
Or it would have taken them less time to do it in stop motion rather than trying to mimic it in CG.
I don't know. Is there a shot like that? Do we see the AT-ATs in the new trailer?
Yeah, I think they show more of that scene in the new trailer.
Okay, so maybe the the stuff I saw in the sizzle reel is from this trailer.
Okay. Yeah, it could be.
I don't know.
I think the other cool part, and I, you know, obviously they cast it on purpose, but, you know, just seeing Mon Mothma, you know, looking the same, and seeing the rebel base on Yavin and things like that, you know, that was pretty cool too, in that first teaser trailer.
Right, right, and she is the same actress that played Mon Mothma in the third prequel in Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, I heard that. I don't know if you told me that or somebody else, but
I think I had to look that up because I didn't. I sadly I don't know Revenge of the Sith well enough to say, oh yeah, definitely that's the same actress. But it's neat that you get that kind of thing and these connections. And I don't know if we'll see it in this new trailer, but somebody told me that Jimmy Smits is in.
Oh, interesting.
Rogue One. Is that true?
I haven't heard that. That would be pretty cool.
I mean, I know that there's a bunch of folks from the Star Wars that we know that show up, whether it's in cameos or in, I don't know. Vader probably is the most, the biggest deal. But I think they said even before the movie started that Vader would have some kind of role.
Yeah, I think we've known that for a while.
Okay, so it didn't shock you. Is there anybody else that you see in that trailer that is from the Star Wars saga elsewhere?
Now we're talking about the teaser or the new one? I don't think it matters, but...
Well, it just... Because I think Mon Mothma is the only person we see in that teaser.
Yeah, she's the only one that I recognized. I was kind of hoping... What's his name? Dudonna? Is that his name? Show up. But
yeah, but
I didn't see him in there.
We could do like a whole episode on all those folks from A New Hope. What happened to all those guys? And was Princess Leia the leader of the rebellion? Or was she just like a visible part of the rebellion? Was her father the leader of the rebellion? Mon Mothma hadn't been invented by... in 1977, but are we to understand that she is the leader of the rebellion even then?
Well, the way I understand it from what I've seen on Rebels and what I've heard in interviews from, is it that Pablo guy? Is he kind of the
Pablo
story
Hidalgo
guy? Yeah. Is that, you know, the rebellion at the time of Rebels and probably even in this, the movie, you know, it's still kind of a bunch of independent cells, and they're kind of coming together as a rebel alliance rather than just being all these rebel groups.
Okay. And so when does the rebel alliance happen?
Well, obviously before Star Wars, maybe before Rogue One.
But a bunch of disparate rebels that team up once they find out the Empire has this terrible weapon? And it's like, we've worked independently up till this point. Now we have to work together.
That could be. That could be what brings them together. That'd be interesting. I know the guy that Forrest Whitaker is playing is a character that was in a few episodes of Clone Wars.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, there was three or four episodes where it became mostly Ahsoka, but initially Kenobi and Ahsoka went to this planet to kind of help them against the separatists, but they weren't allowed to officially, you know, help them because they needed to keep their kind of like the prime directive kind of thing. You know, they didn't want to interfere with the world and their government, but they did help train some of these rebels on this world against the separatists. And one of the main guys, the leaders of that group, I can't remember his name, but that's who Forrest Whitaker is playing. So now he's becoming part of this rebel alliance kind of thing. So I thought that was kind of cool. I totally, you know, when they talked about it, I heard somebody talk about it. I'm like, I don't remember that. And then they had listed the episode. So I went back and looked. I'm like, okay, yeah, I remember that from Clone Wars. But they're kind of linking that all together. It's kind of interesting.
Okay, but by the time Rogue One starts, Mon Mothma is the leader of the rebel alliance?
I would think she's one of the main leaders. It's probably like her and Dudonna. Yeah, I don't know where Ackbar would fall in at that point.
Well, what about Leia's father?
Or Leia's father, too.
How significant was Bail Organa in the Oh, isn't there a deleted scene of Revenge of the Sith that has Bail Organa and Padme and Mon Mothma and maybe somebody else meeting saying we need to fight the Emperor?
I think there was something like that, yeah, getting together at the Senate or something like that. I don't know. These are all good questions, man.
Well, yeah. I
guess maybe we'll learn more.
I don't know. And if they threw out the expanded universe, maybe things that were revealed 10 years ago are no longer the case. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been months as of this recording since that teaser came out. And I'd say it's within the last week or two that I actually learned the name that Felicity Jones plays, the character. Because it says, like, name at the beginning of the teaser. And what I heard was, oh. And I was like, what? What? Did she cough? Did she clear her throat? Was that a name? But now there's, like, started being toys of Jyn Erso.
Yeah.
Am I saying it right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's right.
Can you name any of the other characters?
I can't. I've watched, you know, the Star Wars YouTube channel has a Star Wars thing, weekly little snippet. And they were talking about all the different characters. I know there's a blind guy, kind of like a stick kind of character. And then there's the robot.
That Alan Tudyk voices?
Yeah. And there's a guy that likes
to shoot. Do we see him in this trailer?
Yes. Yep, he's in the new trailer.
Okay.
So, yeah, but I know there's like five or six different characters, and they all kind of have their own thing, and they're coming together as a team, but... And I'm not being as careful or worried about spoilers, but I'm not going out of my way to see, you know, everything I can, find everything I can about it, because I do want to see.
And yeah, I think they're keeping everything really close to the vest on this movie too. I don't believe J.J. Abrams is involved, but the spirit of J.J. Abrams is all over this movie as well.
Yeah.
What's Forrest Whitaker's character's name?
I'm gonna have to look it up now.
Oh, okay. Well, if you don't know,
yeah, I don't know.
Then that's fine. But it just, if he had been on Clone Wars, I just thought maybe you remembered.
No, I did when I heard about it, and then let's see. When's the last time we saw Forrest Whitaker?
In person?
No.
When I first moved to Los Angeles.
Oh, did you? That's cool. Oh, that's right. Saw Gerrera is his name.
Saw Gerrera,
yeah. I'm kind of interested to see him, see what his character... He kind of seems to me like a Yoda kind of character, but not in the Force, but just in, you know, kind of guiding Jyn.
Well, he's the one that says, what will you have to do?
Yeah.
And what will you become, or something like that at the end of the teaser, right? That's his voice?
That's his voice, yeah.
And the main villain, it almost seems like you and I talked about this one time. He is a Grand Admiral?
Yes.
Does he have a name? He's not somebody we've seen before in any...
He's not somebody we've seen before, but it's been... revealed or whatever that he actually is Ursa's father, or Jyn's father.
Dang it, really?
Yeah.
That's not a huge spoiler?
I guess not. I think he, the actor, let that slip. And then since then they've confirmed it.
Oh, I think I could have done without knowing that.
Oh, see? I ruined it for you. Well, before I ruin anything else, do you wanna watch the trailer?
Yeah, that's probably wise. Just bear with me. I guess you can hear it while I watch it.
I'll probably just play it at the same time here.
Okay. Well, it starts right out with the Imperial March.
The world is coming undone. Imperial flags reign across the galaxy.
Can you be trusted without your shackles?
Let's just get this over with, shall we?
We have a mission for you. A major weapons test is imminent. We need to know how to destroy it.
If you're really doing this, I want to help.
Good.
Good. I've been recruiting for the Rebellion for a long time.
We destroyed our home.
I fight the Empire now.
I fear nothing. All is as the Force wills it.
The captain says you are a friend. I will not kill you.
Thanks. There isn't much time. Every day they grow stronger.
There is a 97.6% chance of failure.
He means well.
This is our chance to make a real difference. Are you with me?
All the way.
Vader showed up for 1 second or less?
I'd say maybe less. So what do you think?
Well, I mean, I was already in, but yeah, I don't know that I'm as excited by this trailer as I was by the teaser. It tells us a little bit more about the movie and what the deal is, and it gives other people something to do. Yeah, the blind guy had a lot of stuff there going on.
Yeah, I think that was the point of this one, just kind of, you know, more of the same things that we've seen, but a few more images and more character moments.
And that robot that Alan Tudyk voices is super, super tall.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to that, but I'm kind of a sucker for droids. What'd you think about the Star Destroyer?
With the shadow going over it?
Oh, not the Star. No, the Star Destroyer kind of hanging out above that mesa.
Oh, it's over like some kind of butte or something. Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah.
And it also looked like there was an eclipse on a sun. Or is that the Death Star doing something?
Oh, maybe. Except isn't Alderaan the first thing that they destroy?
I just mean like the Death Star moving over the sun of this planet or something like that. I don't know. I guess I'll have to watch it again and again. And
there you go.
Till we know. It's fun, in this internet, in this world of the internet, anytime like a new trailer for a big movie comes out, there'll be 10 people that are willing to break down like every single shot and moment.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is this, and this actor is so-and-so, and this person. That's both great and also kind of awful.
Yeah, I usually don't read those. Maybe after I've seen the movie or something, I'll go back and say, oh, okay, yeah. So I guess, when I saw the teaser trailer, my thought was, I'm more excited to see this than I am episode 8. I mean, I was pretty excited to see, and I'm still excited to see Rogue One. But kind of like you, I enjoy this trailer, but it didn't have the same impact as the teaser one did, probably because it was the first look that I had.
I mean, it does have a different feel than the other movies.
Yeah.
I mean, well, definitely, Phantom Menace had, it felt so different with the trailers for that, that, you know, thankfully there was John Williams music. So we'd be like, okay, it's still Star Wars. And this one, yeah, even though there's recognizable characters or images or ships and all that stuff, it feels more like a war movie or like a World War II spy going in over enemy lines, a Dirty Dozen kind of movie. And I think somebody had said that this is going to be like Dirty Dozen in space, or Schindler's List, Saving Private Ryan in space.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm all for that. That sounds great. I'd love to see
I'm excited about that. What do you think about the retakes? Everybody's making a big deal about the reshoots and stuff. Do you think that's just normal stuff, or do you think there was...
Well, it's hard to know, because every movie, if they have any budget at all, has reshoots.
Yeah.
It's, usually you just put the movie together and you watch it and you're like, okay, I don't quite like this moment, or we need to tighten this part up, or what if we cut this scene and we need a scene to bridge that. So people, it's not jarring that we've cut this scene and all that stuff. People acted like it was a huge deal. The reshoots.
I think it was Rogue One.
And I think people were saying, well, it wasn't even Gareth Edwards that did it. They brought in a different director and all that stuff, which is probably also not super unusual.
Yeah, I would think that would be pretty common. Your second, what do they call it? Secondary production or whatever.
The second unit kind of thing.
Second unit, yeah, comes in and does a lot of things.
And yeah, there's a different director for a second unit.
Yeah.
And so that sort of thing could happen. It doesn't mean that the producers or the director or Disney didn't like what they saw. I mean, it could mean that, but I just, every once in a while you'll see something that's part of a reshoot and it's noticeable. I remember in Phantom Menace, there's like a minute and a half of that movie where suddenly Jake Lloyd is a year older. Like, you know, he looks so much different. And yeah, that sort of stuff happens. I think everybody points to that Fantastic Four movie from last year as the worst example because, yeah, the footage didn't even match, you know. But on this, I don't know. I mean, there were rumors that they wanted it to be more kid-friendly. They wanted it to be more in line with the Star Wars movies that have come before.
Yeah.
I heard rumors that they wanted new young Han Solo in it, that they wanted tons of Vader in it because they wanted to play it safe and ensure that it would be a big hit.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's going to be a big hit no matter what.
Yeah.
Even if it's terrible, it's going to be a big hit. I mean, what's the third one? Revenge of the Sith was the PG-13 Star Wars movie. And there was talk about that. Is it going to be too dark? This one's going to be less successful because it's so dark. Well, it was a Star Wars movie. It was still the biggest movie of 2005.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope that Disney has enough faith in this franchise to let them do all sorts of interesting things and say, okay, yeah, we are going to do the Dirty Dozen in space. And yeah, maybe it's going to be a little grittier. Maybe it's going to be a little bleaker than other Star Wars movies. But you know what? If that doesn't work, then we'll make the Han Solo movie super, super funny and super light or whatever comes after that. I would love them to just have leeway and say, hey, we're going to make the movie that you guys said. Or we're going to let you make the movie that you wanted to make. And I haven't heard anything about Disney, you know, putting their thumb on any of the Lucasfilm stuff or any of the Pixar stuff.
Yeah.
Of saying, oh, hey, you guys want to do that. You're not going to be able to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Or Marvel Studios, right? Disney has said nothing to Marvel Studios except for, no, keep going, man. We're happy to cash those checks.
Yeah, and I hope that's true. You know, they're definitely not as reactionary as like Warner Brothers or whatever. But I really do hope that I'm interested to see a different take on Star Wars. You know, the gritty ground troops view rather than just, you know, the people with lightsabers. I think it'd be a fascinating look into the world of Star Wars. I hope they don't, you know, tone it down too much or say, oh, we need a lightsaber battle here or we need something here to remind them that this is Star Wars. I mean, they, you know, we got the AT-ATs, we got the Death Star, you know, we were having a cameo or whatever we're getting from Darth Vader and images from Yavin and Mon Mothma. You know, I think we have enough to remind ourselves that it's Star Wars, but I think it's interesting that we're getting these new characters and they're not Jedi. They're not Skywalkers. This is what kind of the boots on the ground. This is what makes the rebellion work kind of thing. So I'm interested to see that. And I hope, you know, I think a Han Solo cameo would really ruin. And I don't think they're doing it. I haven't heard anything.
Oh, has that rumor been debunked?
Well, I think so. I haven't heard too much about it. I think that was discussed, though. But I hope they don't do that, because that's just kind of too much sprinkling or whatever, trying to remind us of what we like. Where I think this is a really serious take, and I don't know. Not that I don't like the other stuff, but I think this, it'd be fun to see something, a different take on Star Wars and see what it's like from a different perspective.
And yeah, most of these characters will probably not make it out alive from this movie. And that, yeah. And they need the freedom to do that sort of thing. I wonder if 20th Century Fox had had any pull over George Lucas in 1980 when, you know, when they were putting Empire Strikes Back together, if they would have said, oh, hey, guys, this feels totally different than the first Star Wars. This is a grown-up movie. You guys have to put in more. Guys, it's like, I don't know that I would let my three-year-old see this movie, you know, that kind of stuff. And I hope Disney doesn't do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand they want people to go to it over and over and over again, and they want it to, you know, make billions of dollars and sell toys. But if the movie is good, then we'll take our kids to it and we'll buy them the toys. And if it's an adult movie that's good, we'll buy the toys for ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. I hadn't watched the trailer either, like when it first came out. I was kind of waiting, or I wasn't sure how much I wanted to see. But then I was talking to my son, and he didn't know a lot about Rogue One. I thought we'd talked about it, but I said, oh, really? Sorry,
how old is your son?
He's 13.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I said, oh, well, here, let me show you the trailer. The new trailer just came out. I showed him the teaser and the trailer, and he's like, yeah, I want to see that. And he was kind of indifferent about Force Awakens, which I thought was interesting. But yeah, he looked pretty excited to see Rogue One. So,
well, it's really important that this movie do well so that Disney will take more risks in the future. You know what I'm saying? The same with when something like Guardians of the Galaxy came out and it was a huge hit. Marvel Studios were like, wow, we can do whatever we want. Or something like Winter Soldier, where it's just, it is unlike any of the movies previous. When that is successful, they're like, okay, we can continue to take risks.
Yeah, let's and do it.
There may well come a time, if Rogue One is a huge hit, that they say, okay, we're going to do a Star Wars movie that takes place 1,000 years ago, and none of the characters are anybody you've heard of before. We're just going to say, okay, or they take place on the other side of the galaxy, and you don't know any of these people. And it's important that they be allowed to do that and not just say, okay, well, we're going to do a Han Solo trilogy, and then we're going to do our Boba Fett movie, and then we're going to, you know, that kind of stuff. Because people aren't willing to see stuff that they don't already know.
Just hearing you say that, it'd be interesting if, like, Han Solo became, like, the Iron Man of Star Wars, you know, where he just shows up in another movie or whatever, like he will in Spider-Man, you know, to start a new character.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they wanted to, they could make the movie about young Leia that we were talking about.
Yeah.
They could make a Lando Calrissian adventure. I'd go see that.
Yeah.
They can make another movie about R2 and 3PO before Captain Antilles found them, that's set, you know, in between the two sagas, and maybe that has young Han Solo in it. Maybe that has some of these other guys. Or they could say, okay, hey, we're going to jump ahead, you know, another 100 years. So everybody's gone. Even Chewbacca has died, and it's just going to be characters that we don't know. And maybe R2 and 3PO, if they feel like they have to do something. But I don't know.
Yeah.
The real pressure was on The Force Awakens, because they were trying to have their cake and eat it too. They were trying to say it's a start to a whole new saga of Star Wars movies. But at the same time, we don't want to alienate any of you guys who've loved this your whole life. It's made for you. It's going to have tons of nostalgia in it, guys. They were trying to please everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, it grossed all these millions of dollars. I mean, beyond what even I guessed it would do. And when Jurassic World crossed like $600 million, I was just like, wow, what is Star Wars going to do? but I don't think anybody knew it would make, you know, nearly $1 billion domestic.
Yeah.
But Rogue One, I don't think it has that same pressure. Because if Rogue One only crosses $500 million, which is still a gargantuan hit movie, nobody's going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If it makes half of what Force Awakens made, people are still going to be like, wow, that money spends just the same, guys.
Yeah, and they're probably not, you know, I don't think they're probably not, don't have that kind of an expectation on it either. I mean, they want it to do well, but they're not expecting it to be Force Awakens size.
Right. And if you're J.J. Abrams, you're thinking, OK, audiences have to fall in love with Rey and Finn and Poe Dameron and BB-8 and all that stuff, because those are the characters that are going to carry us for the next three movies. In this movie, it's just like, no, we just have to tell the best story we can. And at the end of this movie, it's done.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to set the groundwork for movies and movie. And you know what? They may have tentative plans for an episode 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 that we don't know about. But I don't imagine there are any plans for Rogue 2.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was going to say, is you don't think they're going to set anything up for a Rogue 2.
Well, they could. I don't know.
They could.
We don't know what happens here. But yeah, I think they would be unwise to say, okay, this is a whole new series of movies. I think just a one and done, the story's going to be finished by the end credits and the audience will be satisfied.
Yeah, and I think that's the intent there. I think it would be interesting, though, if you know, they do such a good job with getting the plans for the first Death Star, that they could do another run on getting the Bothan spies who got the plans for the second Death Star.
And, you know, maybe that's in the back of their minds, because they know. I remember when they first announced Rogue One, everybody was quoting that many Bothans died to bring us this information thing.
Right.
Not realizing, well, those are two different stories. Those are two different missions or
yeah,
those Death Star plans and all that stuff. And, you know, I'll bet there's a really good story in that as well. I mean, it's kind of a nastier story because we find out that it was I who allowed the rebellion to fight. You know,
yeah,
we know that that was all a honey trap kind of thing. But, you know, it's not fair to say all those Bothans died in vain, because they still managed to blow up the Death Star.
Yeah. But I don't know. I would like to see Ian McDiarmid as the Emperor again. You know, not in a prequel kind of thing, but I mean, he's ancient, right? As the Emperor. So he could come in and do that at any point. But I wouldn't mind seeing the Emperor show up in another Star Wars movie.
And he's not involved in this movie at all, right?
No, not that I've heard anything about.
I mean, he easily could show up in like a hologram or something like that. And they could shoot that in November. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. They could easily do that.
Yeah, Palpatine is really, really interesting, really fun. And yeah, he could, I don't know. He's never shown up on Rebels?
No, he hasn't.
Well, I kind of wonder, what is he doing?
I mean, I'm sure he's maneuvering things behind the scenes or whatever, but I think he just, you know, kind of lets Vader and the other leaders of the Empire kind of try their...
We used to know that, okay, so he was setting up the Old Republic. What did they call it? He was setting up the Senate to be dismantled, but that he was also training, what's her name, Mara Jade.
Right.
To eventually replace Vader. But I think Mara Jade has been erased from existence like Marty McFly's brother's head. Yeah, so it's hard to guess what Palpatine is doing. I remember that first chapter of the Alan Dean Foster book said that, you know, he was like sequestered in his palace, and now he had to answer to all the toadies and bootlickers that he had surrounded himself because they had taken all the power. But I'm sure all of that was uncanonized once Lucas decided, oh, no, this guy's a force user and he's the most powerful being in the galaxy.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of Mara Jade and people coming back, did you hear who's going to be coming back in Rebels season 3?
I didn't hear, but my guess is Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Yeah, Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Because my cousin told me that Timothy Zahn has a new Thrawn book and he's now part of the canon again, the new canon 2.0, whatever you want to call that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that would be pretty interesting to see him.
There was even rumors that this character, the main villain in Rogue One, was going to be Thrawn when they first saw like that he was a Grand Admiral and all that stuff, but he has a different name. It's right.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is.
I mean, it's okay if I don't know their characters' names, but it starts to get hard to talk about when I don't know the characters' names.
Yeah.
Ben Mendelsohn is the actor.
I was thinking that earlier today. I'm like, oh, I should bone up for our podcast tonight. But
okay, so he is her father.
Yep.
Is it fair to say that she went to like the Imperial Academy and all that stuff and decided that she'd rather be a criminal? Or she just, you know, she what can I say? I rebel.
Yeah.
She just hates authority, maybe because of who her father is.
Yeah, or what she's seen, you know, kind of like a Leia character where, well, I guess Leia's father's not a bad guy, but, you know, seeing the evil of the Empire as it's growing and seeing her father's involvement in it would be what drives her to the rebellion. But it sounds like she's even a rebel against the rebellion kind of thing. You know, she's not necessarily their true blue fighter person. She's selected because she's outside of things.
Okay, well, but when you tell us that her father is this big shot in the what is it called? The Galactic Empire.
The Galactic.
That makes me wonder if, okay, she was chosen because she's going to have access. They're going to let her go places they wouldn't let a normal person go.
Yeah.
Because of who her father is. Or is it possible they don't know that her father is this, you know, big shot in the...
Yeah, I would think more along the lines of your first train of thought there, is that she has an in, way to get information kind of thing. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's not till December, but if this year has been anything, it's been fast.
Yeah, you know, when the first teaser came out, one of the things that I was going to do when we had an episode was kind of play the dumb guy or the fan that really doesn't know a lot, or the non-Star Wars person looking at Star Wars. Because I remember hearing a lot of comments, and even from somebody that I know pretty well, that, and they're a Star Wars fan, you know, like, oh, I don't know, they put another Death Star in the movie. Haven't they done enough Death Stars? And I was like,
yeah, there were people I heard that thought this was a sequel to The Force Awakens.
Yeah, yeah, and I had to explain. I said, no, this is the Death Star, the very first Death Star. This is the story of them getting the plans that R2 has in the first movie. And then they kind of, you know, they saw what was going on. But yeah, they had no idea that they thought that this was a new sequel to the, like, an episode 8 kind of thing.
Yeah, by the time the movie comes out, I would think everybody would know of when it takes place. But it's hard to think of how you would explain that. Oh, is it going to have a crawl? Because you can explain it just in the crawl.
I know Kathleen Kennedy was asked that, and she said at the time, I think, that they were still deliberating whether they were going to have a crawl or not.
Well, it seems like it's going to be necessary just to establish where we are. Like, is this a year before Star Wars? Is this a month before Star Wars? And all that stuff. And I wouldn't be surprised if several transmissions were beamed to the ship by rebel spies in the last scene of the movie. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That leads right into Vader's attack on, I think it's called the Tantive IV, which is the blockade runner.
Yeah.
And, because that seems like just a natural place to end the movie is, you know, either these guys escape and they beam the plans away, or they don't escape, but they beam the plans away.
Yeah. Or that's where Jimmy Smith shows up, and, you know, that they get the plans to him. He's part of he's in on the plot or whatever, at least as the getaway driver kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess we don't know. She said we are part of a diplomatic mission to Alderaan, right? I think they were heading to Alderaan. But I don't know. At the same time, I probably shouldn't read too much into it, because I don't want to set it up in my mind of, okay, well, it has to end with this.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. Well, hey, man, what time is it there for you? An hour before me?
Yeah, an hour before you.
Okay, well, I don't want to keep you out too late. I say we should just publish this and let people know that we're still around and that
we're still here. We still like Star Wars. we have both now seen the Rogue One trailer.
And yeah, if I really had my head on straight, I'd say, okay, before Rebels season 3 starts, I will finish season 2 and we'll do an episode about it.
When does season 3 start?
Like 10 minutes from now, probably.
Probably.
We'll see. I don't know. Once again, we've got a message board. Can you give that the address for that?
So it's journeyinto.freeforums.org. If you go there, there's the travel log, and there's a Delusions of Grandeur section in the travel log there that you can post about our this episode and any of the other episodes we've had.
And I can speak for Marshall when I say we read every one of those posts.
Yes.
We appreciate every single one of those posts. And if you've got a question or a topic or something you're curious about that you'd like us to do, to address on the show, we'd be happy to do that. About a year ago when we were gearing up for Force Awakens, I had all these lofty plans of, okay, we're going to do an episode about this and then we're going to do an episode about that. And, you know, best laid plans, but I'd still love to have fodder for new episodes. And if people have suggestions, my ears are open.
Yes. And one of the things that I had planned on doing some Delusions of Grandeur episodes where I played. I think you called in to the voicemail line once, and Bria Burton has called in and left a message for us. And I need to get those on the air because that would encourage more people to call into the voicemail line.
Okay, do you mind giving that telephone number?
Yep, that's 77JN2107.
Okay, and yes, you can just leave any kind of message on there, ask your questions there or your comments, or share your feelings about any aspect of Star Wars. First time you saw it, your fondest memory, what Star Wars says to you, what it said to you as a child, what you think of Rogue One, how cool Bossk is, you know, any of these things.
I appreciate you doing that solo episode in San Diego about, you know, your memory of Star Wars and friends, Star Wars friends and things like that. And, you know, if anybody has any stories like that, you can share it with us as well. We can build an episode around stuff like that. So that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is fun, man. And like I said, I have other stuff at the back of my mind that I'd love to talk about.
Awesome. Let's do it. We just need to make a plan, I guess. If we have a schedule, maybe we can keep it. I don't know. But encourage us. You know, the more we hear from listeners, the more we're going to feel compelled to get together and make it work so that we can have more episodes of Delusions of Grandeur.
Yep. We also have a Facebook page. You can like that or follow that or post on that or some other thing that you can do with Facebook.
Yes.
I don't know. But every little bit helps. It's always good to know that people like the show and you know, you can participate as well. You can help make the show.
All right, Rish. Well, it was good to talk to you and glad you were able to see the trailer.
Well, yeah, I'm glad I finally got to too. And apparently there's a 97.3% chance that we will have another episode. I don't know. Did I get that number right? I just saw it the one time.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to rewatch the trailer, find out.
Okay, let's do that. This has been Rish Outfield.
This has been Marshall Latham.
Happy Life Day.
Happy Life Day.
You can see here the Delusions of Grandeur podcast orbiting the forest moon of Journey Into. Although the Creative Commons license of this podcast is not yet operational, it does have a strong defense mechanism. It is protected by a non-commercial, no-derivative, share-alike energy shield, which prevents it from being altered, repurposed, or sold. Until this shield is down, our cruisers can share the fire with whomever they like, while the fighters attempt to knock out the main reactor. May the Force be with us.
This has been Marshall Latham. Tell it to Kublai Khan.
Wait, what? Is that a quote?
Yeah. No, that, yeah, from Force Awakens when on the Millennium Falcon, where the whatever people are after Han Solo, and he says, oh, I think that was Kublai Khan. He says, tell that to Kublai Khan or whatever.
You guys are smuggling Raftars?